I'll talk about a subject tonight that is very vital and very important to our relationship with God. And I do believe there are things that are vital. They are important to our survival as well as to revival. Amen. I'm not happy just living in a mode of survival. I don't want to be in a survival mode. Because that means that the only thing you're concerned about is just barely making it. But I do believe it's the will of God that we also be in a revival mode. And there are some things that are very important. This is not a new subject tonight, but I am of the opinion and I'm also of the persuasion that if you don't talk about things, if you don't preach about things, out of sight, out of mind. And we have to hear it again and again because we have to be reminded of some things that are vital. They are important in our walk with God. Praise the Lord. And so, with your Bibles, if you want to follow tonight in the book of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Praise God. Lindo Machias Seis Eum. Hallelujah. Praise God. Practicing my Portuguese on you there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward. Everybody say no reward.
No reward.
Of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I think it's obvious tonight that we want to address the subject of prayer. And I trust that just mentioning the word prayer, that you will not turn your receiver off. But I hope that you'll tune it in a little clearer tonight and turn the volume up just a little bit in your heart and in your mind, because I believe that the subject of prayer is a very, very important subject. Amen. It is our pipeline to heaven. It is our opportunity to talk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is important that we pray. Somebody say it's important that I pray. Amen. It is important that you pray. And we're going to talk about that a few minutes here tonight, the subject of prayer. Jesus, in introducing the subject of prayer, he also brought in the subject of alms, which is giving, offerings. And he said here that we were not to take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of men. Now, here, the thing you have to realize is that in the subject of alms, as well as in the subject of prayer, that Jesus is not, he is not diminishing the necessity, neither is he taking away our corporate prayer or our corporate giving of anything that we do for God. He is not saying that we should not give openly as we did here tonight. He is not saying that we should not pray openly as we have here tonight. Notice his statement that we are not to do it to be seen of men. That is the key statement of that particular instruction. To be seen of men. What he's saying is, what you do for God, don't do it with the wrong motivation. Don't do it with the wrong intent. Don't do it because you want everybody to see that you do it. There's nothing wrong with giving a large offering. There's nothing wrong in giving openly in the house of worship. But it's when you do it because you want others to see what you are doing, that's when you've gotten your reward. All the reward you're going to get is the satisfaction that others saw how much you gave, because that's what you wanted them to see. So it is not wrong. He is not teaching that it's wrong to do alms before men. He is saying it's wrong if you do it to be seen of men. That's what he's saying. And so he said, when you do your alms, he said, don't sound the trumpet. Don't let everybody know what you're about to do. Just do it. And God will give you your reward. And then he goes on to talk about the subject of prayer, verse number 5. And I want you to notice in verse number 5, verse number 6, verse number 7, all three of these verses, you find Jesus not using the word if you pray, but he is saying when you pray. Amen. Somebody say, when I pray. Amen. When thou prayest, verse number 5, verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, verse number 7, but when you pray. Every time he uses the term when, because prayer is a foregone conclusion in the life of a child of God. He did not say if you pray, making it something that you could choose to do if you so desired to do it. He is telling us in very emphatic terms that prayer is expected of a child of God. A child of God ought to pray. A child of God ought to call upon the name of the Lord. A child of God ought to be reaching out in prayer unto the Lord as we live for God. Somebody shout amen. I want to tell you tonight, I believe this with all of my heart, and I've got multiple scriptures in Bible to prove it, and that is that God has limited his work here on earth to a response to prayer. It is prayer that God responds to. It is worship and praise that God responds to. Just before the veil that was in that tabernacle and in that temple, there was an altar that was called the altar of incense, which represents our prayers, our praise, and our worship before the Lord. And so it is significant that that altar was there at the entrance into the very presence of Almighty God. Going behind the veil required that you passed by that altar of incense. Going into that house where the Lord dwelt, you had to pass by the altar of incense. The last thing that you encountered before you went behind the veil was the altar of incense. I am saying that tonight repeatedly, because if we get in the presence of God, it will be because we use the methodology that he has ordained in order for us to get there. If you have found yourself outside the presence of God of late, try prayer. It'll get you back in His presence. If you have found yourself feeling that you're a distance from the Lord, go back to praising Him. Go back to worshiping Him. And it will put you back into the presence of God. We have pre-service prayer because we're here tonight for more than just a speech by some professor. We are here tonight for more than just to hear somebody get in the pulpit and give us some essay on some biblical subject. We are here for a spiritual work. And that spiritual work can only be accomplished if the presence of God is in the house. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You were praying when you repented. You were praying when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You were praying when you got healed. Has anybody been healed? Anybody ever been healed by the hand of God? There was a prayer going up whenever you got that healing. Amen. Has anybody ever been blessed by the Lord? I want to tell you, something was going on between you and the glory world when you got a blessing in your life. You were praising God. You were worshiping the Lord. You were praying in a prayer room or praying in an altar, praying in privacy in your home, and the blessing of God came upon your life. I am asking us the question tonight, why is it that sometimes we lack so much in that same thing that brought us into this? It brought us here. It will keep us here. It gave us the Holy Ghost. It will strengthen us in the Holy Ghost. It gave us the power to walk with God. It'll keep you in power to walk with God. Prayer is absolutely vital to your relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Well, I like what I feel here tonight. Amen. If you want to stay, you got to pray. Well, I believe that tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say it again. If you want to stay, you got to pray. You came in this by prayer. If you want to stay in this, you're going to stay in it by prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we didn't get in this tonight just because we just woke up one morning, clicked our fingers together and walked out and said, I'm going to church and everything's going to be all right. No, friend, some of us went through some agonizing moments in prayer as we knelt before the Lord and we prayed, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me my iniquities. Forgive me of who I've been and what I've been. We wept, we prayed, we cried, we sought God. And some of us didn't get the Holy Ghost the first night that we came to the altar. Some of us took a month or 2 months or 6 months. But it was prayer that brought you through. It was prayer that put you in the presence of God. You were praying when you began to speak with tongues. And if you talk in tongues, while you're living for God, it'll be because you had a prayer meeting. Amen. And I have a little concern that, to forgive me, I'm still battling with this trash in my system, and I'll get beyond it somewhere, sometime. So if you can stand the hacking and the coughing, then we'll make it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I got a problem with these folks in our world today that just can start talking in tongues. Now, there's an occasion or two when the power of God can hit you. But these folks that can just, you know, they out here and they've just been telling a joke or involved in carnal activities, all of a sudden turn around and just start speaking in tongues. There's a problem with that. They've learned how to talk in tongues. Amen. They have what they call their prayer language. I don't find prayer language in the Bible. I do find that they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I need some help here tonight. Hallelujah. They spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I believe that what happens is we've got to somehow in prayer, we've got to get, as you heard me say before, I want to say it again tonight, that we have got to get beyond the carnal and touch the eternal. There is a door through which we go when we are praying that transports us from our carnal world into the spiritual realm. And when you get in that spiritual realm, that is when the presence of God begins to move upon you and you begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. If it is being done by any other method than the Spirit, it is carnal, it is of the devil, it is of flesh, and it will never accomplish a spiritual work in your life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, it'll be by prayer that you'll get the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Stay with me a few minutes tonight. Amen. It is through prayer that you will be renewed in the Spirit. Amen. We live in a very carnal world. Do we not? Everywhere you look, every place you go, every situation you... Sometime during the course of a day that you find yourself engaged in, you are in contact with carnality. You are in contact with flesh. Flesh is ugly. I don't care how pretty you think yours is, flesh is still ugly. Amen. We have egos and we have pride and we have a lot of things. We stand in front of the mirror and we think, boy, we got it all together. Look how fine we look. Your flesh and my flesh is as ugly as it can be. Because it's opposite and it opposes everything of God, everything of the Spirit, everything that's righteous, everything that's holy. I'm telling you, I don't care how pretty you are or how pretty you think you are. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, when I was 18, 20 years old, if you could have bought me for what I was worth and sold me for what I thought I was worth, you could have made a killing. You'd still be retired today. Don't look at me like that. The whole bunch of us were that way. Some of us still are. Some of us haven't found out yet how low down and rotten we really are in the flesh. Flesh is ugly. Flesh is selfish. Flesh wants its way. Can I hear a witness? Amen. Flesh just wants what it wants, and that's just the way it is. The only way to get that flesh under submission is to make it bow its knees before the throne of an eternal God and recognize, I'm nothing. Jesus, I am nothing. I can do nothing without you. I am nothing without you. And I need the help of your Spirit. We are only what we are by the grace of God. Paul said it very clearly, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Come on, saints, if it were not for the grace of God, you would be no better off than that drunk on Skid Row tonight. You'd be no better off than that crack addict down on the west side. Amen. Or on the southeast or wherever they live. If it were not for the grace of God, you would be a robber. You would be, amen, a murderer. You would be a lot of things. If it were not for God's grace, I'm going to tell you the only thing that's going to keep us what we are in God is knowing how to pray, knowing how to touch God, knowing how to get a hold of Him and stay in the presence of God until we get what we need from God. Amen. This is why that we have Saturday night prayer meeting. It doesn't mean that we'll always have Saturday night prayer meeting. We may change and have Monday night prayer meeting. Thursday night prayer meeting. Saturday night's the only night we can pray. Just like Saturday night's not the only night you can take a bath. Hallelujah. But that's why we have pre-service prayer. When we call everybody to pre-service prayer, what is the goal of that? It's not for us to look what we did. No, it's to get us out of that carnal world. It is to get us in an atmosphere where we're touching God. Because it just might be that the Lord would like to do something among us. And if we enter into a worship service with a carnal frame of mind, and all we're thinking about is our world, and our job and all of our problems and everything else. Let me tell you, when you pray, it has a tendency to lift you up above your problems. When you pray, it has a tendency to help you rise above the situations that you're dealing with in life. And all of us are dealing with something on some level, somewhere, and sometimes multiple problems on multiple levels. But when you pray, it has a tendency to lift you up into a dimension of the Spirit where that you can kind of feel after God and let there be an eternal work accomplished in your life that cannot happen when you're carnal. It cannot happen when you're of the flesh. We need prayer in order to get us to where we need to be in God. Amen. And praying will help us. Jesus said, when you pray, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they might be, somebody say, seen of men. He said they have their reward. The reward they have gotten is the fact that they're satisfied that others have seen them pray. They could care less about whether or not they got anything from God or if it made any difference in their relationship with God. The only thing they're concerned about is how they appeared before others. And so, he said, let me tell you what you need to do when you pray. He said, enter into your closet. And he said, pray in secret. Shut the door. Now, there's a lot of ways you can look at this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. There's some customs, some things that they did as a custom back in that time. You know, the prayer shawls that the Jews wear, it has somewhat to do with this. They still wear them today, but the skirt, the clothing, things were designed in such a way that some of this has reference to even a prayer shawl. They would actually put it over their head. It would be symbolic of an actual closet that they would enter into. That was their closet that they entered into. The point that Jesus is making here is when you pray, do it with the right motive. Do it with the right purpose. He said, don't do it to be seen of men. That, again, is the key statement in what he's saying. And he said, not only that, but when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. In other words, don't just say the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. He said, hypocrites do that. And they do it is because they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujahs are good. Amen. You know, my wife likes me to talk to her. But she don't want me to come up and say, honey, I love you, 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 I love you. She wants a conversation. She wants to talk. And she wants more than a monologue where I'm doing all the talking. She wants a dialogue. There's some things she'd like to say. Come on now. There's some things she would like to say. Good marriage counseling right here, Brother Ray. Write this down. Hallelujah. What you turn red for? You too, Daniel. Hallelujah. There's some things she would like to say back. It's a dialogue. Prayer's a dialogue. Prayer is you talking to God and God talking back to you. Man, it's quiet here today. Amen. Prayer is giving God a chance to say some things. He might want to talk to you a little bit. Now, you might not want to hear what he has to say. No more than sometimes you want to hear what your wife has to say. For the men, again. It'll be a while getting over that one. Amen. So, the point I'm making is that prayer's a dialogue. God wants to talk to us as well as He wants us to talk to Him. And He said, these hypocrites, when they go out to pray, these people get out on the street and they just get out there and say the same thing. Just vain repetitions over and over and over again. There's nothing wrong with praising God. Nothing wrong with magnifying God. Nothing wrong with telling God how great He is, how wonderful. But sometimes the Lord is looking for us to make some very clear statements to Him in our prayer. He wants us to tell Him what we're looking for, what we desire, what we want, and that He wants to reciprocate with some things that He might be looking for out of us. Hallelujah. Let me just pause here long enough to I know lately I've zeroed in on our youth and our young singles and all that. Young people, you've got to believe this preacher when I tell you. Prayer is your secret. I'm going to try to get back to my lesson here tonight, but I'm doing what I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to do right now. Prayer is your secret. If you're struggling with some things, take it to Jesus. If you're fighting a battle, take it to Jesus. If you don't know what to do with some situations in your life, take it to Jesus. Amen. Come on now. I worry. I have to be honest with you. I tell you, I'm worrying. I get concerned in my spirit when I see youth that come to the house of worship, pre-service prayer, and never bend a knee, and then talk to me about all the struggles that they're having. I'm going to tell you, young person, young lady, young man, if you want to know how to get beyond your problems or get beyond your troubles or know how to stay in the place that God would have you to be in, you've got to pray. And if you don't pray, you're not going to have that communion with your soul and the Spirit of Almighty God. God has made you up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Your body causes you to be world conscious. Touch, taste, smell, hear, touch, taste, smell, hear, touch, taste, sight. Thank you. I just want to make sure you knew what I was talking about. You know the world around you because you touch. You smell. I mean, you know, you can detect odors. Was that a feeling of conviction that caused you to laugh? You taste. Yeah. That's the wrong thing to say to me. I mean, you can taste. You've got taste buds. It makes you sensitive to things. You know what the taste of marble slab is. Ice cream. Or Cold Stone Creamery. That's better, really. And you know the taste of hamburger. You know the taste of pizza. You know, it makes you world conscious. Your body makes you world conscious. It's your soul that makes you self-conscious. You know who you are and what you are because you have a soul within you. And it's your soul that makes you conscious of yourself. You are aware that you're a person. You're aware that you're a human. You look in the mirror. Now, you may not necessarily like what you see, but that's the way God made you. So just accept it, and you'll be a lot better off than you are trying to make something better than what God made. You don't need to paint it up. Because painted up don't make it better. We paint inanimate objects to give them life.
paint houses. We paint cars because they don't have life. So we paint them to give them some life. But you can't paint a human and give them life. They look dead. The only thing that's going to give them life, and I'm already way beyond my scriptures. And so anyway, I'll get back to it and bring this back in. But the only thing that's going to give life is the Spirit of God inside of you. And the more you pray and the more you stay in touch with God, the more life you have. When you look in the mirror, you'll see joy. You'll see peace. You'll see righteousness. Where? In the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that's emanating from your life. That's what gives you the glow, the beauty. You're not going to get it by earthly means. So your soul makes you self-conscious. You know who you are by the soul that God has given you. But it's your spirit that makes you God-conscious. When your spirit connects with the Spirit of God, you get conscious that there's a God. And He's great. And He's mighty. And He's powerful. Huh? Now, young people, again, let me direct this to you. And for that matter, all of us, it's a great thing to come to church and get a blessing. Nothing wrong with that. It's a great thing to come back and get restored and renewed. But this can't be the only place that you get a renewing. This can't be the only place that you get a restoration. You got to say like the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one leading me. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down beside green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Somebody tell me. He restores my soul. I've got to tell you that if you will learn how to get a restoration in spirit on a daily basis, it won't be a struggle when you come to church to pray. It won't be a struggle to worship. What you'll do is you'll step out of your prayer room into a praise room. You'll step out of your prayer room into a time of worship. And nobody will have to pray you through. You've already prayed yourself through. You've already prayed. And listen, prayer is a journey. A journey from the carnal to the eternal. A journey from the flesh to an atmosphere of the Spirit. And it is a journey that sometimes takes more than 3 minutes of prayer. I don't know what your experiences are in prayer, but I know what my experiences are. So I can only speak from personal experience that I have found that when I begin to pray, I begin to talk to God, I find my mind goes to work. Well, I find my mind beginning to think. Something over here that needs to be done. Something there I forgot to do. Oh, Lord. But I have found that if I will just pursue and just keep praying. Hallelujah. And just say, you know, I'll take care of that later. Make a mental note and then I'll take care of it. It's going to be done later. I forgot that, so it just had to be done. I'll have to make it up. So that's just part of it. But I keep praying and I keep talking to the Lord. And I want to tell you, friend, if you've not experienced this, you need to learn how to experience this. Praying until something begins to pray from within your spirit. And there's a liberty. There's a freedom as you begin to pray. You know you're in the presence of God. You know you've gotten beyond the flesh. You know you've gotten beyond the carnal. You know you've gotten beyond the world that you've lived in. And you stepped over to another world. And as you're praying, you're feeling that unction. You're feeling something inside of you. And you're crying out to God. You're reaching out to the Lord saying,
saying, God, oh, I love you. And Lord, I got some things I want to talk to you about. And it's not long you're praying in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit, friend, is not just speaking in tongues. That is part of praying in the Spirit. But praying in the Spirit is not just speaking with tongues. It is talking in tongues, and that is praying in the Spirit. But praying in the Spirit is also the experience of praying with the Holy Ghost praying inside of you. You are saying words that you understand. They are English. You are speaking them, but there's something that's happening. It's a prayer that's going on in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is helping you, and you are praying into an atmosphere that you didn't have when you first started praying. I don't know if I'll get back to my verses or not. Maybe I don't need to. Maybe this is where the Holy Ghost wants to help us tonight. We need to get in the Spirit of prayer. Somebody say the Spirit of prayer. Come on, say it. The Spirit of prayer. Not just prayer where you're just saying the same things over again. It's a Spirit of prayer. It's where that as you are praying, you know this is more than me. This is more than flesh. This is more than, come on, I feel tonight in the Holy Ghost, I'm right where we need to be right now. Amen. I am telling you that we've got to get beyond just carnal praying. We've got to get beyond just going through the motions. We've got to get beyond just going through the mechanics of prayer. But we need to have a prayer meeting in our life regularly. You hear me, church? I said regularly that we will get beyond. Sometime we pray and we may pray for an hour and feel like that we have done nothing. Nothing but butt our head against the wall and we have not gone anywhere. I'm going to tell you, if you can walk away from that and still say, God is still real. I still believe in Him. He heard my prayer. I may not have broke through like I wanted to, but God still knows that I took time and I talked to Him. I want to tell you, the next time you go back to prayer, it may not take 30 seconds before you're feeling something coming up inside of you and you feel a liberty and a spirit of prayer where you just feel like you could ask God for anything and He would do it. You feel like it didn't matter what present you presented to Him, He'd take care of the situation. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. What I'm talking about is a prayer that gets beyond what Jesus is talking about where the hypocrites are concerned. Just doing it to be seen of men. Anything we do that's motivated by others is a wrong motivation. Jesus talked about fasting, and I'm not going to get into the subject of fasting tonight, but just to give you, in Isaiah 58, he talked about fasting, and he said, you're fasting for the wrong reasons. He said, you're fasting to destroy and to kill and do all that stuff. He said, that's the wrong motivation for fasting. Point is, that we have to be motivated by the right thing. We need to be motivated by a love for God. Man, anyone that goes out here and they're going to start fasting because they want God to kill somebody because they're tired of looking in their ugly face. It's the wrong motivation. God's not going to honor your fast. He's not going to honor what you have to do. He has nothing to do with that. It's not the way God operates. Man, sometimes when we go to pray, and as we start praying, you know, we get down to business, and we start saying, "Oh God, I just want you to know, I want you to do something about that individual. I want you to take care of that situation. I'm sick and tired of dealing." You know what? God might just have something to say to you about how He would like to adjust you to handle the situation. That situation might be there for a purpose. He may have it there. He may be allowing that situation to be there so He can work on you a little bit.
Come on, church.
Everything that happens to us that's bad is not for the purpose of destroying or bringing us down. Sometimes God lets things happen because He wants to use it to work some things out in our own life. And sometimes
that we are going through, or what we have seen, or what we have witnessed, or whatever it might be. I mean, think, how in the world can God bring anything good out of this? You keep praying about it. You keep submitting yourself to God in prayer, and God'll show you eventually. God will let you look back down the road and say, you know what? Now I know that God had His hand on me through this whole thing, and that He was working some things out of my own heart and my own life. Let's lift our hands and ask God to help us in prayer. Come on. Everybody in the house, would you lift your hands and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me in this business of prayer. Help me to break through in the Spirit. Help me to pray until I have prayed through into the Holy Ghost. Help me to pray until I have reached the throne of God. Help me to get beyond the veil and to get into the very presence of your Spirit. Oh, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to Him for a moment or two. I feel His presence in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Great and mighty is the Lord our God. How excellent is your holy name in all the earth. We praise you, Jesus. Oh God, help us to pray. Help us to pray. Help us to pray. Help us to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Can I just take my time for a few more minutes here tonight? You know, I'd love to see our young people, our young singles. We got several that's graduated and young teenagers. I'd love to see them understand what prayer really is. I got 2 pages of scriptures and notes and everything else that I hadn't even got past the first paragraph yet. But I believe that the Holy Ghost is trying to help somebody here tonight. But I say, praise the Lord. Prayer, young people, Jesus taught it like this. He said, He told us how not to pray. But He don't leave us by just telling us what not to do. He does tell us what to do. It's like Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. He's telling us what we should not be doing. We should not be walking in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, listening to the advice and counsel of the wrong people. We should not be doing those things. But He doesn't stop there. He said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law does He meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, how will you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? It's if you don't do the things you're not supposed to do, and you do the things you're supposed to do. When you put the two of them together, you're like a tree planted. You have stability in your life. And that's what we all need. It's stability. Like a tree planted. Somebody say planted. Amen. You watch someone, listen, you watch someone who is unstable, who don't know what they want to do, who can't make up their mind, who says one thing today and something else tomorrow. There's a problem. The problem is they're listening to the wrong people. They're talking to the wrong people. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the wrong place, sitting in the wrong place. Sitting with the scornful, scorning those who want to live right, do right, preach a solid message, stand for truth. You get somebody confused like that, you mark it down. Their instability is based upon the fact that they haven't learned that there's some things that they shouldn't be doing. And they haven't learned that there's some things that they ought to be doing. His delight is in the law of God. And His law, as He meditate day and night, He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, sends forth its fruits in the season, whatsoever his leaf shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I don't mind telling you, I'd like to prosper. And I'm not talking about financially. That's just part of the picture. Prosperity in God is more than finances. I've seen some folks that got blessed, but that wasn't a blessing from God. Is because of their ability to just get out and make money. That's, you know, that's all right. But I want to prosper in the Spirit. In fact, I'd whole lot rather have the blessings of God in the spiritual realm than to have $1 million in the bank. Amen. You take your choices, but I kind of enjoy His presence. $1 million in the bank and no touch of God, you can have that. Amen. You can have everything in this world and not have God. You don't have anything. Somebody help me now. Let me get back to the prayer business. He said he told us how not to pray. Don't just pray saying the same things over and over again. He said, but after this manner, all of our young folks say after this manner. In other words, here's what Jesus was saying. Watch this. That's the famous last words of the redneck. Watch this, y'all. I knew you'd finally get it. Took her a while, but she finally got it. Jesus said, here's the way I want you to pray. Here's the pattern for your prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, encapsulated in that one statement is an instruction of how to begin your prayer. For those of you that don't know what encapsulated means, it means summed up and wrapped up in that one statement. Okay, there you go. I saw her eyes crossing. Like, I mean, is that all Christian school taught you? No, we've got to work on this business. He said, in that one statement, he was saying, start your prayer with a time of praise. Give an honor to God. I want to tell you one of the secrets I have found in prayer. When I start praying, I just take some time to worship the Lord. Sometime, you know, I've, and please forgive me. I don't mean to be rude or ugly. I don't mean it that way. But I've seen people hit their knees and the first thing they did is started crying out, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. God, deal with this situation. I'm thinking, you know what? Get in His presence first. And He gave us a pattern of how to get into His presence. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, to His courts with praise, come before His presence with singing. Huh? What He's talking about is praise. Praise ushers you. When you start talking to the Lord about how great He is, God, you're such a good God. Your word teaches us that there's no variableness in you. No shadow of turning. You're the wonderful counselor. You're the mighty God. You're the everlasting Father. You're the Prince of Peace. God, you're the Lord of my life. You've been so good to me. Thank you for your blessings. You're great. That's why he said in Psalms 150, he said, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him according to his mighty acts. You praise God on how great and how wonderful he is, and then you praise him for all the things he's done. And when you start talking to God like that, he sits up and pays attention. It's not long before he scoots over close to you because he enjoys talking with somebody that's giving him honor, giving him glory, and giving him praise. Somebody help me now. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, young people, if you can learn how, when you start praying, I'm talking about in your private prayer room, praying by your bed at night and seeking God, or early in the morning, or at whatever time you get up, if it's noontime, pray. Hallelujah. He said, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, the first thing that you, if you can learn how to just take some time and give God some praise. After this manner, pray. Start your prayer with worship. Just start your prayer talking to God about how great He is. How good He is. How wonderful He is. Has God been good to anybody in this house? Huh? Has God been good to anybody? Has the Lord done good things for you in your life? Tell him about it. Tell him what he's done. Tell him how great he has been. I'm telling you, the more you praise him. But there have been times, let me tell you something. I can't tell you the times that I have gone to the prayer room and I felt as dry as last year's cornfield. I was as dry and I'm walking the floor, struggling in my spirit, struggling in my mind. And I just stop and I focus. And I just start, if I can't do nothing else, I know what his book says. If I can't think of anything here, I'll go to the Word of God. One of the favorites of mine is, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still waters. You restore my soul. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley. That's to me, that sound like, that may sound dumb to some of y'all, but I want to tell you what. The Psalms 23 has ushered me into many a good prayer meeting. Amen. Been alone and struggling, trying to find the will of God, trying to find direction, and felt like that all hell had broke loose and nothing in the world was going right. And I didn't know if I'd ever come out alive. And I just started talking to the Lord about His goodness. And then when I got through with Psalms 23, I'd go to Psalms 27, where He would say, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I can behold your beauty and inquire in your tabernacle. For in the time of trouble, you will hide me in your pavilion. In the secret place of your tabernacle, you'll hide me. You will set me up. And I'm telling you right now, I'm starting to feel a spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. I am telling you, when you start just talking to God about His Word, when you start sending His Word back up to Him who sent it down here to you, there's a connection going to be made.
Amen.
Somebody help me now. I'm telling you that right there is the key. If you will learn how to praise God at the outset of your prayer, God in your presence, He inhabits the praises of His people. Hope I'm helping somebody here tonight. Now he said, the first thing, this is your pattern. Don't just, oh God, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, oh Jesus, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. That's like a preacher getting up and saying, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, praise God, it's good to be here tonight. Everybody shout hallelujah, amen, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, amen. I'd get tired of that after a while, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I remember when I was growing up, we used to have I don't think I'll tell that. Yeah, I believe it will. We used to have a woman preacher that came around. God delivered us from those, and so we don't have them anymore. But she'd come around, and she'd get up and testify, or preach, whatever she did. And I promise you, all of us kids would get a pen and paper out because we knew we was fixing to get some hallelujahs. And we'd count how many hallelujahs that she said. I'd quit after about 150 or 200. I mean, it was every other word. Anyway. You see, what happens is you get focused on the wrong thing. And that's what happens. And so, yeah. So, I'm teaching you tonight that when you start talking to God, and you start communicating to Him from your heart of how good and great He is, and you send His Word back up to Him. The next thing He said do in verse number 10, He just said, after you've given some praise, He said, then I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, it will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want you to notice something. What Jesus said here is first of all, I want you to pray. Begin your prayer with some worship. Giving me honor and glory. Honor me as your Father. Honor me as your Creator. Start praising me. And then, when you start asking for some things, I want you to first ask for those things that are important to me before you ask for yourself. Come on, church. He said, pray what's important to me first. And what's important to me is that my kingdom comes and my will is done in earth. Now, what is earth represented? What does earth represent in Scripture? It represents flesh. World represents the mind. It represents the illumination of the mind, knowledge and all that, when the word world is used oftentimes. But when the word earth is used, it deals with flesh. Amen. Just flesh. Your kingdom come. In other words, your authority, your rule come. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about kingdom right there. He's not just talking about the place where a king rules. It's his authority. He said, let your kingdom come. Let your rulership come. Let your authority come. Let it be in earth as it is in heaven, because he does rule in the heavens. No questions asked up there. The only time a question was ever asked, he settled the issue in a heartbeat. It's done. It's over with. But there is a question about whether or not he rules down here. And the reason that there's a question is because he's having to deal with the will of man. And so God doesn't rule in the whole earth. He has authority and power. He can do what he wants to do. But he doesn't rule in every man's heart. He only rules in the hearts of those who says, Jesus, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let your authority come to my life. And you be the ruler of my life. You lead me, guide me, direct me. Show me the way you need me to take. He said, I want you to pray what's important to me before you pray what's important to you. Now, why is that? Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give me the next verse. Give us this day our daily bread. Go to the next verse. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Next. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All of those things are things that we pray where ourselves are concerned. Our own life. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what happens is this. When you pray what's important to God first, and you pray, Jesus, let your will be done in earth. Let your kingdom come. Take rulership and authority over my life. Then everything that you pray after that, listen carefully. Everything you pray after that, you pray it in the context of the will of God. There may be things that you ask for. There may be things that you pray for. But when you are praying for those things, you have already set the stage. And the stage that you have set is, God, let your will be done in my life. Let your rulership be in my life. And so from this point on, everything I pray is going to be in the realm and in the dimension and under that umbrella of the will of God. So we're able to pray. As we pray and ask God for things, we're able to say, according to your will. I'm asking these things, but I'm asking them within your will. What is your will? And if this is not your will, I may ask for it and pray for it, but if it's not your will, don't let it be. Do we really mean that when we pray? Do we really mean that? Is that really our true prayer? It ought to be. That we're able to pray within the parameters, within the guidelines of the will of God. So, real quickly, let's go through it, and I'm going to close for tonight. I don't have much more to give. Lead us not into temptation. Back it up. Back it all the way up to verse number 10 again. Let's go through it real quickly. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Let everything be done in earth just like it is in heaven. I want you to be the ruler of my life. Now, Lord, when I pray, give us this day our daily bread. And I am praying, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I am also praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Three of these areas, our needs that we have from day to day, our daily providence, the providing of necessities. Give us this day. Second thing has to do with your spiritual. Deliver us forgive us our debts. You're praying for forgiveness. There is nothing wrong with praying that God would forgive you. Lord, forgive me my sins, my iniquities. You may have secret sins. You may have sins that you don't even realize you committed. God, forgive me my sins. Forgive me my iniquities. Forgive me my faults and failures. We all deal with flesh and humanity, and we're all full of faults and failures, shortcomings, inconsistencies. Do I hear a witness? Amen. And we pray, God, forgive us of these things. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, forgive us for the things that we have done we should not have done, as we forgive those who are indebted or who have sinned against us. Because you see, your being forgiven will be based upon your willingness to forgive others. And there's more Bible to prove that. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep your hand on us. Don't let us be led into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. And then the last statement, for thine is what? Kingdom. What? Power. What else? The glory. How long? Forever. It's your kingdom. And it's your power. And it's your glory. You see, you started your prayer, young people. You started your prayer giving honor and glory to God. And you ended your prayer giving honor and glory to God. Sandwiched in between your praise and your worship is praying for His will in your life and praying for all the things that you have need of. You started with praise and you ended with praise. You started with honor and you ended with honor. Why? Because when you walk out of His presence, you want to walk out having left a prayer room where you started and you ended it, giving honor to God. Because when you do that and you walk out, you realize you're not walking on your own. You're walking with the help of God. Everybody said amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. So many things that I wanted to get into tonight, but I guess.